Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we talk about movies and TV from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And today we're talking about Star Trek Wrath of Khan.
That's right.
And of course, we had to bring in our local Trekkie, Hisham Kalani. What's
Hi,
up?
Hi, guys. Long love and prosper.
We need you here, buddy.
Yeah, we were saying before, it's like, if Hisham can't record today, we're going to have to reschedule.
We're going to need to find another day.
Because we need Hisham.
We need Hisham.
Because I think last time you were on the podcast was for Black Panther.
Yes.
And then immediately afterwards, you were like, guys, if you ever want to do a Star Trek,
if you perceive it, it'll happen.
Okay, yeah,
it's
there
secret.
You go.
It's the secret.
And this is, of course, we're doing Star Trek today because I think even the day that this drops, Star Trek Picard is dropping on CBS All Access.
And I'm also very excited about that, guys.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a let's get into this universe a little bit with a different captain and movies instead of TV. So, I mean, this might be obvious, but what we always like to ask when we have a guest on, what's your relationship to this movie?
It is my single favorite science fiction movie and also single favorite Star Trek film.
Whoa, hot damn.
Oh, yeah. I have opinions. Aggressive opinions about this movie.
That's what we love to hear. And yeah. I guess, obviously, the villain of this
is Khan. It's in the title.
Yeah.
It's in the title.
It's very, very user friendly. Like Star Trek. Okay, I know what this is. The Wrath of Khan. Okay, he's getting angry. All right,
this is a bad guy. And I'm going to throw it to Hisham for this.
Yeah.
Quick plot summary to anyone who hasn't seen it.
Okay, here's the problem. Once again, this is why I say opinions. This movie is not only a sequel to the Star Trek motion picture film,
which is 30 minutes of panning across the Star Trek Enterprise.
It was Interstellar like 40 years ago. That's all the movie was. The probe comes back and everyone high fives at the end. Great sound effects. Rest of the film was garbage.
Can we make a movie without conflict? Yes, we can.
Yes, you can. And it happened and everyone had a good time. We got the checks, went home. That's it. So not only is it a sequel to Star Trek the Motion Picture, it is actually a follow-up sequel to a very popular Star Trek original series episode called Space Seed. It is the actual original introduction of Khan Noonien Singh, the villain from the movie. It is very casually mentioned in the intro, but the movie in itself is just kind of standalone. You can just watch it without needing reference.
Yeah,
I felt like that had been an episode or something. It felt too, like they, I don't know, the way
they
set it up, I was like,
Khan was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, this is all feels way too familiar for all y'all.
And like, okay, here's where the opinions come in. Okay, I'm going to just go back very, very deep and give you like actual institutional context to who Khan Noonien Singh is. In the 1950s, in the Star Trek timeline, a bunch of rogue scientists, in an attempt to better humanity, created through selective breeding and genetic enhancements, literally an army of superhumans called augments. These people were like 100 times smarter, 100 times stronger, 100 times faster. The idea was we build a better human, and then they in turn make humanity better.
Eugenics,
100% eugenics. Unfortunately for them, as Spock at one point says in Space Seed very succinctly, superior abilities breeds superior ambition. And you literally had 400 Caesars just grow up, realize they could do it, and they just took over the planet. That was, and it was something called the Eugenics War. The strongest of them was Khan Noonien Singh, the most benevolent of all dictators. He controlled a quarter of the planet single-handedly, and there's no starvation. Everyone was very well educated. Everyone had a good time. You just lived under a harsh dictatorship. And it took like the Eugenics Wars, the whole world to uprise and just kill the rest of them, be like, we don't want to be slaves anymore. And then maybe Khan and about like 80 of them just disappear. They don't know where they are. Everyone's freaking out. something like 271 years later, the Star Trek, it's Starfleet now, it's an original series, Kirk stumbles across a sleeper ship, and inside are 80 superhumans in suspended animation, and through what is quite possibly the funniest series of events, Khan Noonien Singh wakes up and then just takes over everything. It took 40 minutes. He charmed literally the historian, a woman named MacGyvers, who was just like a 20th century historian, because they're like, ooh, it's from the 20th century. Let's get the resident PhD in here to help us out. She finds out who he is. She's totally, he's totally her type. She's at walls of like Caesar, Nero, Napoleon, all these, you know, Leif Erikson, all these great superhumans. And she meets like the strongest of them all. And she's like, I'm totally down for this. And it goes from like fanfic to real dick. She completely abandons all her principles and her duty as a Starfleet officer and just helps him take over the ship. And he almost gets away with it. But he's so hubris filled. He's so self-confident that Kirk basically manages to get the upper hand while he's villain monologuing. Like he's looking up, he's talking about how he's going to span an entire empire across the galaxy under his fist. And Kirk just wakes up, takes like a titanium rod and just beats him into submission mid-speech. And then they just, and Kirk's like, listen, this guy is, you know, he's the perfect specimen of humanity. We need to give him a chance. It's not his fault. He's literally bred for this. Like he's from a lab. He's a nuclear warhead with a PhD. He cannot control his ambition. So he's like, you know what? I don't want to, you know, throw you guys in jail. We're going to toss you into on just a jungle planet. We're going to let you just tame it. You want a world to conquer? Here's just a wild frontier. And then they just abandon him in space and then just fuck off. Like they never see him again. They leave.
Yeah.
That's a lot of good. I'm glad you got that backstory in there. Cause I was like, cause in the movie, it's about 5 minutes of exposition. Khan is like, we met Kirk and he left us here. And then the planet next to theirs exploded and ruined the planet that they were stuck on.
Yeah.
Still able to survive.
And that, which is a testament to how absolutely strong and ruthless these people are.
Right.
But if you haven't seen the episode at all, then it's just completely like, okay, sure, we'll just roll with it. And then just the rest of the movie really hinges on this like background relationship that these two guys have. Really kind of know.
Yeah, we're asking, what are you wrathing? What's this wrath about?
Dude, if you were to describe this movie in one sentence, it would be two old men having a pissing contest.
And that's
it. That's what this movie
the whole
is.
Film.
It's just two men whipping their dicks out.
Because Khan is supposed to be the best in the whole world, and he got one-upped by a chump. Like he literally calls Kirk in the space seats like in every aspect inferior, and he got played. Okay. And that's been building in his heart. So not only do he goes to this jungle planet, and through a series of events, for some reason it's never explained why, a planet just explodes. That would have been a better movie, just explaining why all of a sudden his planet explodes.
Weirdly enough, I was just like, yeah, I'm sure that happens.
It's space. It's a space problem.
Yeah.
And so his jungle planet,
sometimes you fly around enough and out of space, sometimes some planets are just gonna explode.
No reason whatsoever, which is terrifying. So his whole jungle planet turns into this absolute desolate. And it's really like, look, I've rewatched this movie. As you pan his little botany bay, little hut, and there's a bunch of books. They're all books about revenge. It's like King Lear, Paradise Lost. And so like the whole subtext is like he's been resentful because his wife's dead. Kirk abandoned him. No one ever came back to check on him. All his people died. And he's just 18 years of just simmering misery and resentment.
Are you saying that the subtext of the movie is revenge when the plot is called Wrath of Khan?
Listen, I need people to reinforce
that's
it.
That's some reading between the lines there, Hisham.
Listen, I was 12 when I first watched this movie. I had no idea what wrath meant for the longest time. So I was very proud when I came up with that thought independently. I looked, Googled it later. I'm like, oh, wrath means angry.
Wrath means revenge. Okay. And then I guess that brings us to the actual movie in which, so very quickly, it's they stumble across him. Chekhov stumbles across him in his new ship, the Intrepid. So he takes over the airship.
A fun fact, Chekhov and Khan have never met at any point. Chekhov was not in the episode at
all.
Oh,
no.
And when Khan recognizes him, he's just like, oh, Mr. Chekhov, I remember you. Even at 12, I'm like, I remember. That's a lie.
Continuity.
Where was the script editor on that one?
We need, who's the character that the audience isn't going to mind just being sidelined for most of this movie?
Chekhov?
Chekhov. Yeah. I feel like Chekhov or haircut? Sulu had kind of a coin toss on that one. But then there's this Genesis project, which is
huge.
Just turns non-living things into living things.
It's a weapon of mass destruction. It's a planet maker.
And so Khan goes and gets that, and then Kirk is kind of chasing him around.
Using what, by the way? My favorite creature villain of all time? Brain slugs.
Oh. Yeah. We're all about animals. A good brain slug on this podcast, let me tell you.
Ah, oh, dude. The thought of anything crawling into my ear is just...
That
freaks me out, man. I'll watch like 100 arms get cut off, but that one, I was like...
And it's slow, old school, like that thing was like fifth size.
Dude, I love the old school, like the construction.
Yeah, the puppetry.
All that shit. Like, I'm like, this is fucking Star Trek, dude. Like, I love it.
It's gotta look a little bad.
Yes,
right?
Yes, right? it has to look a little bad. Yeah, you need a campy.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
Or like, there's one part where there's like a close-up of it like crawling in Chekhov's ear, and you're like, that's not a real ear.
No. That ear was 2 feet long. It was a huge prosthetic. Yeah, it was hilarious. I have pictures to show you guys later.
Oh, that's crazy.
I believe that, yeah.
So I think you're of the opinion Khan was right.
So on a technical level, yes. Because once again, all he wanted to do was conquer and create. And on a technical level, historically even, when Spock is reading the computers on him, like he wasn't a bad guy. He was a bad guy, but he wasn't a bad guy. You know what I mean? Because he was
a dictator, but he's a benevolent dictator.
And there was the idea of like all I need to do is do it and everything will be okay. It's like Magneto or Dr. Doom, where there's almost a altruistic subtext. It's lawful evil. He's a villain situationally. But there's like the Empire, for all intents and purposes, did good things. You know, it's like they, like in Star Wars, like they built an actual empire or working government. There was like trade. There was some kind of policing, like the people, but it was kind of passively also like, you know,
aliens. It's fascism.
Aliens were second class citizens. You know, like, but like they, at least they did something. And then technically Khan did. And I think it's the fact that like this woman was the only one who's ever loved him.
Was that the historian?
Yes.
This is why?
The time MacGyver's, because she left and she was so committed to him and then the belief that she left the ship and like was with him. And he has been a solo dude the entire time. He's never had a wife or any kind of companionship. So this woman meant everything to him. And then she died.
Because Kirk basically dropped him at the curb and was like, peace.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm not going to drop a marker on the star map saying this is where
Sang is. Don't give
anyone a heads up at all. No buoy, no message back home.
Captain's log, Stardate 734. I know I'm forgetting something.
Just can't put my finger on it.
What did we do last week? Brain slugs. No.
And I love Chekhov freaking out when he realizes. And so the whole thing, and once again, it's... Once again, this is like when people start, you know, I'm not trying to forgive evil, but he can't help it. Like, he literally can't help it. He's been 100-0 for every actual conflict he's ever been in.
Except for Kirk and aluminum rod versus Skull.
Just some chump dude in a toupee.
In Rod we trust.
And now he's 101, and then... So like it became his obsession. And if you watch the movie, like there were kind of throwaway lines, but like he became consumed with the desire to absolutely destroy Kirk before even committing to the next wave, which was he had a planet maker. For a man whose entire obsession is to conquer, he could literally make a planet to conquer, but he just couldn't get over that loss. You know?
Oh, that's true. And I will say, like, in respect to him as a leader and sort of things like that, we never see his followers are in infallible. Like they are like they follow him to the end.
That guy when he dies, his last words is "Yours is a superior intellect." Is yeah, the line. But even this his is last the, line
and,
is fucking.
And this is the guy who's been trying to tell him, "Just let it go, man." The whole time,
yeah. We have a thing to make our own planet. Let's just leave.
Yeah, and what I loved about this is there's never this scene of like you insolent cur, and like you know he like kills him on the spot for questioning him. Whereas like so that's clearly a leader who. Who will accept criticism and discussion over policy issues, but what he says goes. You know what I mean? Like he's like that's a very
and that's a hard powered CEO. That's an Apple. That's a Microsoft. That's a Google. Nah, you know,
you
that's
change a couple of musical. You make a couple of musical changes in this movie. This guy's just on a John Wick rampage, man. That's all it is. Somebody shot his wife.
True.
Yeah. And he's off to the races. Okay, yeah. That's what's up.
You left me abandoned. A brain slug ate my wife.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming.
Yeah.
For
now
you.
I'm coming.
You old. Old man.
100%.
And the idea that he can't let go even when the information is given to him because he's mentally, like he's genetically predisposed to needing to conquer. And Kirk is that one lost. He needs that redemption win. This is LeBron coming back to take Golden State down again for that ring. He just can't let it go. And I genuinely, as a very petty person, I can appreciate that singular focus. Like he's a human shark. He's a predator. And
yeah.
Oh, human shark is a really good way to describe him.
Even
actually,
the way you describe the way he has his actions back and forth with people. He's always twitching and moving. Like he just can't stop going. Like
human shark.
It's amazing, and I can appreciate that inability to. Let go for the whole purpose of winning, to conquer that last bit. Like he can't go home and make paradise when like you know just niggling in the back of his brain forever is Kirk. You know?
Yeah, that's great.
Can we talk about how old this man is versus the shirtlessness of his damn self? This is a body positivity movie, yes. Okay? Yeah. If you want to see a jacked man over 60, he was 60.
This is post Fantasy Island.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's 60 when they filmed this.
And
okay.
There was a rumor that that was a fake chest plate.
No.
For the longest time, because like you said, no one could believe.
Dude, this guy is juiced, okay. Like,
and the costume designers were so annoyed that when they got his like cut, they were like, "This is fake. There's no way a they went back like, no, measure him again. This is obviously like he just got a. This is just from his like when he was 20 years old. No, he's got pecs.
Yeah. Like this is a hot dude. This is a hot 60-year-old dude.
Ricardo Montalban can get it.
He is a snack, dude.
Even in Space Seed, they actually went and they were like, listen, we're going to cast you and we'll figure everything around. Because he was at the time like hot, right?
Yeah.
Both situated, like he's physically hot, but also actor-wise hot. And to get a dude like this to come on and play this guy with like swagger and he was an alpha before that term became like mainstream conceptualized. But you know, like
he's just like that. That whole cause, I was like, "Are we doing this for the whole movie?" Because I'm into it. Because like I'm down.
Yeah. Well, he is.
I hope there's no costume changes. I'm into it.
Also, the rest of the jack dudes in the back, Chippendale dancers.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
No
Holy
way.
Shit. That's crazy.
Oh, I believe it, dude. That. Although you have to say that they did kind of set them up to look like Nazis.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. It's very clear visually what they were trying to depict.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is Space Hitler. There's
Space. You can't say that because now I feel like I'm defending Space Hitler.
And once again, I can empathize with him and maybe understand where he's coming from, but he is still the villain, although justifiably so. Yeah, I think so.
I love the John Wick angle of this. Yeah, because he's just like, I do love the ambush that he has. Like he pulled that off so smartly.
Mm. Yes.
He's in a Federation ship. He just like approaches slowly and is like, no, I can't talk. Like radio down.
And that's a legit move.
Yeah.
Like this guy's, this is second time on a spaceship and already he's just like, I got this.
Yeah.
Like, he spent 18 years game planning everything.
Yes.
And just like decimates the Enterprise. Which I'm gonna say, not a hard ship to take down. From what we
see. All right. Okay. Yeah.
You know,
yes. Yeah. Okay.
You can see. Yeah. Every time I see one of those, I'm like, I can see the appeal of the Death Star. You know what I mean? Circular. Everything's compact.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
get it all in one location. Why do you got an arm
one
dangling out here?
Hole that you can penetrate. Versus at any point, you can just shoot one of them.
Like a hallway.
Off, everything's done.
Everything's done. And like in my head, it's always been like the even from a physics standpoint, the Federation starships are ridiculous. Oh, because
no
like
aerodynamicness.
Well,
no.
You don't need aerodynamics in space, so that's fine.
Well, that's true. No way.
But like just the fact that there's this huge saucer at the top. And then, like, on this long neck, and then there's little section in the back, and then the engines stick up from that. Yeah. It's like the center of gravity of that thing is all fucked up. Like, if you blasted with those engines, it's going to spin. You know what I mean?
That's but, how they created the deflector.
Right.
And then the cells are going to work on it.
Yeah, so in my mind, they're shaped like that because of some sort of physics, and the warp engines or whatever have
the
to work
field,
that way.
Yeah.
That's why you have to have a saucer at the front for some structural space.
You're
reason.
Gonna hate me when I show you another picture of all the other designs for the Starfleet ships, and you're gonna get so angry because there is no rhyme or reason.
Well, there's one with like a ball, and one with like
this one's a disc, and one of them is like like literally three circles connected by a line, so it looks basically like anal beads.
Yeah,
and it has like a warp engine, and you're like, how does any of this work?
Well, that's crazy. Is like so Star Trek to Star Wars, you know, comparisons made a million times. Like you see the Death Star, you see an Imperial cruiser, and you're like, I understand how that would work as a spaceship.
Yes.
Everything in Star Trek, everything Federation in Star Trek doesn't work.
No.
All the other ones, you're like, Klingon Warbird, get it.
Warbird, Cardassian Star
Borg Destroyer, Cube,
everything.
Even. You're
the
great.
The Borg Cube is like, why aren't all ships cubes? You could just make them into one bigger cube.
Yeah.
This is genius.
Just keep building it out, especially if you're building it in space. But can I just quickly talk about the thing that I absolutely hate the most technically about
Star
Wars?
Yes, of course you can.
This drives me crazy. Every single Star Trek series, as far as I know, has had this, and it's absolutely bonkers. They should have fixed it by now. Exploding panels on the bridge that just shoot. Like, doesn't matter what happens to this ship. Doesn't matter if it gets torpedoed. Doesn't matter if it gets phasered. Doesn't matter if it crashes into anything or an alien waves hello. Just sparks shoot out of the control panels.
I have zero defenses. Okay?
Like what kind of shit? This is the 23rd century? 24th century. What kind of shitty electronics do you have that the moment they get hurt or knocked about a little bit in a spacecraft?
It's true.
It just shoots sparks. Imagine if you went into your kitchen and you went to your toaster and you just like gave that toaster a little tap with a hammer. You know what happened to that toaster? It would stop working. It wouldn't shoot sparksy and then continue making toast.
For the record,
the panels never go out of order after that happens. They can still.
I'm trying to think of defenses of like everything leads back to exactly what he's saying. Every ship, no joke, every ship is literally just like an explosion that's contained. That's it. That's all it is. And moment you get hit or knocked around, something explodes. Because there's power conduits behind everything. Like every time they're like, what happened? There's a power conduit behind the fridge? Like why did that have to explode? Yeah. You're right. You're right.
They really, it reminds me of that, what was that game called? Perfection, I think? Where the pieces pop out and you gotta put
pop
it,
them
like, quick,
yeah,
just
yeah.
pop it back
and
in.
And it's that stressful, like, tick, 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 and you're like,
just staple it down, it's fine. The buttons still work.
Just duct tape
and then
in space.
It pops and everybody screams because you're so, it's that combination of I'm focused on something. Absolutely. I do, this is by no means something that I came up with. I think it's a Reddit thread where it talks about how in the Star Trek universe, the thing about humans and the Federation is just that absolutely nothing they have should work.
Yes.
They have no idea how to travel in
space. Human ingenuity.
They just strap things together and like shoot themselves off into space. Yeah. And they're like the Vulcans are like, oh my God, you're going to die.
And what do they do instead? Create a galaxy spanning Federation. That's how. That's
because
the
they're
Vulcans
just out of
there.
Respect.
They're like, listen, duct tape will not hold the engine together. Use real metal. It's like, we got this.
Yeah.
Like colonizing everything.
Just like that, it's the moxie of humans
100%.
That's like, just like, I don't know.
But the luck factor on humanity is incredible in Star Trek. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's oh, very good. My God. Can we? Okay. I would love to just start diving into not how right we think Khan is, but how shitty we think Kirk is. Because I think he is shitty.
This is like attacking my father.
I believe your listen. Twitter handle is Black Kirk.
Captain Kirk. Okay, yeah. Reeds is really coming for it. Oh, yeah. Let's do this.
First of all,
Kirk versus Khan right here, right now.
I feel like 90% of this movie is just this man kicking a rock going, I'm old. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely not wrong.
I honestly think that's 50% of the reason why he wants to destroy Khan, okay? Because he sees those glorious pecs and he's like, no, sir. Okay.
I hate to admit this, but yes. And I don't watch the next like four movies because that's just the motif for every single one of them. It's just Kirk getting older and older, losing more and more hair, and just not constantly
destroying
starting a
people more attractive than him.
I will get my youth again.
Yes.
No, that's legit. The whole idea is he's been put to pasture by the beginning of the movie. He's an admiral. He's running the academy.
Nah, this guy's not an admiral. He's a fucking cowboy, man. He's out there. Yeah. He's risking life. First of all, okay, so just to look at what's happened in this movie, okay? This man has can't decide whether he wants to keep it or leave, okay? So he's like, I don't know, whatever. Everybody around him has to coddle it. Spock is coddling this man. Spock, okay? The coolest motherfucker. I love Spock so much. I think he's a G.
Yeah.
All right, he's awesome, okay? Everybody around him's being like, no, stay, Kirk. We love you. We need you. You belong
on a starship.
Me. Anyway, and then
this guy
takes a bunch of students, okay, decides to go on a cowboy mission, does not call for backup at any point, by the way.
For the record, I have to correct you momentarily. At one point when Kirk is talking to Spock, he does note that they are the only ship in the vicinity to go after.
Yeah, that's true.
I did note that, but could we get somebody on the horn? You know what I mean? Could we get somebody on the phone? Be like, hey, we're going to go do this thing. If you don't hear from us, could you send out a couple of motherfuckers? Could you send out some backup?
Right as fuck right now. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, you got to call somebody.
He's a cowboy.
He's an absolute cowboy. Okay, he's out there. He's risking lives, right? Okay.
Yes. That's true. Yeah.
At any point. Okay,
students' lives. Yeah.
And I don't know how.
Children, he says.
I don't know how far it is to get to anybody else. Okay. But for this sake, let's say this guy does. You show up to a ship, everybody's dead, okay? Your ship has already been attacked. People have died on your ship. You get on this other research ship. People are fucking dead. You start piecing together what's happened here, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to get to step in, okay? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to take everybody, okay? And we're going to leave. I'm not going to try and fight this man now that has a warhead, okay, on his fucking ship. And I'm going to shoot at it? Hey, because we see what happens when that thing explodes, man. And you're shooting at it, and then you're like, oh, wait, he's activating it. We got to get away. You were just shooting at it.
Yeah. I think the argument could be made that Kirk is a more interesting character, but I think we've got to say Picard is the better captain.
That is fighting words, sir. Picard is quite possibly a war criminal. Okay?
Really?
You want to get into this right now? Listen to me. This is Picard's entire captainship, okay? This man has, through his own volition, and this is the captain of the flagship of the Starfleet, okay? He's downloaded the collective memories of both Sarek, who is Spock's father, and Spock himself. That is 1,000 years worth of state secrets, okay? Number two, he had downloaded into his brain the entire life's memory of like an alien man, and the entire end thing was just him learning to play the flute. It's one of the worst episodes I've ever seen. And on top of that, he was taken prisoner and assimilated by the Borg, one of the most, if not the most terrifying enemy of the entire Federation.
I would agree.
And had the collective memories of like 9 trillion drones downloaded into his brain. And they still let him be a captain.
No, okay? that's absolutely ridiculous.
Barely functioning schizophrenic. First contact is him having flashbacks. It's a man having PTSD, and they gave him a rifle and they're like, take him down.
That's a man. I mean, that's a man that should be put out to pasture, as you say.
But like, your statement just got served.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you tried to dunk and he jammed deep with receipts.
Very well.
But you're right. I think in terms of, on a technicality, in terms of like TV shows, I think Kirk is, by definition, it's the wild frontier. He was the captain when there was nothing out there. You need a cowboy to tame the wilderness. But then you have someone like Picard, who is more of an academic, more of a diplomat. To talk down
all the conflicts that Kirk started 100 years ago.
And then I'd be like, we'd be friends now, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so when you have a man like Kirk, whose entire thing is to, like, you know, basically wrangle the wilderness, and then you have so he's almost like an unstoppable force, and then you have Khan, who is an immovable object. This man has defied everything. It is amazing. And like, listen, Reed's read this harder than I've ever seen anyone. It is just two old dudes having a pissing match.
It is.
they met in their prime, and this is just like the rematch. This is also like old Kobe and like old Michael Jordan, you know, just like bad backs and like bad knees.
They got a big knee brace on for this.
Like
this
15-minute breaks in between. And I like the fact that Kirk is, I think his humanity is the only thing that kind of saves him, because Khan has such a singular focus that he can't break out of it. Like you mentioned, his lieutenant, while giving great opinions, was too obedient. The rest of his people called him out for all the dumb shit. Like, hey, why are we shooting at the ship that has a weapon of mass destruction on it? So you're completely right.
Yeah, don't do that.
And this is why, kind of for the movie though, like, I'm on Khan's side. Like, it was amazing that he almost got away with it. And in the end, he like creates a cool planet. That's kind of better.
And like, another point I would like to make is that there are people on Khan's ship that disagreed with him or weren't necessarily on board for everything. And Kirk was like, yeah, kill all those motherfuckers. I don't care. Murder them all. True. You're on that ship. You're the enemy. Okay. Yeah. You're dead. You're done dead. And I'm not saying that's wrong, obviously. But Khan did the same thing. So it's kind of like they're both wrong in my mind.
Where 100%. War is wrong. Yeah.
War is wrong. But just like looking at it where I'm like, Kirk was doing the same shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just that he's state sanctioned. Yeah. Versus, let's say,
he's state sanctioned and has a nice soundtrack.
You know? Yes.
He has a nice soundtrack behind him. So you're like, oh, well, this guy.
Every time Khan comes on, it's minor chords. Like, he's the villain.
man.
This is a Black Panther situation to me, because on both sides, again, it's two people that one's right technically and one's right legally. So like,
Yeah.
So like, who are we, like, I Khan didn't technically do anything wrong. He murdered all the scientists.
Let me just say for the record, who cares about scientists?
they're trying to save us from anything. No. But then you have Kirk, like you said, he had a bunch of kids and he took them into a war zone.
Yeah, and kept going. Like, he could have removed himself. Yeah.
If anything, this movie's about not necessarily entitlement, but enablement. Because, like, the crews were just like, keep going, Captain!
Yeah.
At any point, someone was just like, we should stop this.
Oh, let's just take a minute, though, and talk about the fact that they are, quote-unquote, children operating the Enterprise here.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
on their first mission.
First mission. But, by the way, that's entirely the plot of the 2009 Star Trek. But anyway, they were all children.
J.J. Abrams ruined this franchise. That's another opinion I have.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
But here's what I want to know, because I assume Starfleet's a little bit like the Navy or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's like military. It's literally military,
right? School, yeah. Exactly. So they're like, oh, all these kids are so young and inexperienced. But so was all the original crew of the Enterprise when they first started. Like, Sulu as a helmsman is not...
Dude. Yeah, he's like maybe 25, 26.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, that's a job that you get out of the academy. You go like, what did you specialize in? Starship navigation. Very well, you're going to do this. And that's why you're on the bridge. And you've got officer training as opposed to like the grunt downstairs.
Crew members, actual technicians
and stuff. But you're 25, like you've just graduated from West Point rather than like been drafted.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Basic training. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So like these things, like even now, like the U.S. military, it's like, you know, you've got a nuclear powered submarine or a nuclear powered aircraft carrier.
Kids are running.
Yeah, it's a bunch of 20-year-old kids who are running it.
Yeah, isn't that terrifying?
That's terrifying. Like the captain obviously is more experienced than the first officer and the crew. But
here's another thing though. Kirk was the youngest captain ever commissioned, and he was like maybe like 30.
Right.
So you have a barely out of 20-year-old commanding a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And what I'm going to say is that the Academy should have prepared them for this. They were ready. You know what I mean? It's that Kirk is sitting there going like, I don't know, man, these young kids, they just can't pull it. It's like, fuck you, man. Like that's,
you were all kids. Some of them couldn't pull it though.
Oh, okay. No. That was their captain. That was their captain. Because he's just like, what's this starship doing coming near us? Shields down, everybody. Shields down. Can we flash a light and then like gets ambushed? That's not on them.
I will acquiesce to that opinion, but I have to remind you that they're literally fighting the smartest man ever made.
Sure.
From scratch. Like this guy is like the smartest. Like he, so like that's my one willingness to let it, the crew slide, because like they couldn't keep up with him. And eventually they did one up him, but it was like Khan took everybody down, big moves. Kirk used cleverness, like remembering how to take down the Intrepid's shield using codes is something that he wouldn't, Khan doesn't have the technical wherewithal to understand, but in terms of like sneaking up on him, doing like old school actual like battleship moves, because this is basically a submarine warfare.
Yes, submarines, battleships, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's like, the young kids wouldn't have known that. That's like a old man trick, you know what I mean?
Sure, I just object so much to the fact that it's like, to your point where he's an old man who can't let it go, he's not willing to let the new generation try and succeed.
No,
because he's just like, no, it's like, let's get the old crew back. Yeah, it's like, the system is built so that you're the crews are being renewed new Academy.
This movie
and like,
is okay, boomer. I get it, and that's the first movie, motion picture, him getting the captainship of the Enterprise again from somebody who had been promoted to that. In this case, instead of getting even letting Spock, the new captain, take over, he took over. I'm not gonna lie, I think that the fourth, fifth, and sixth movie are the same deal. It's just him being like, no, I'm gonna do this, and you're like, I've been training also for 15 years.
Yeah.
I get a chance. Listen, Kirk's selfish. I'll admit it.
He is selfish. He's so selfish. He talks about how old he is the whole movie. That's like the string. And then they shoehorn. They're like, oh,
Reeds is like holding but also, really
but also, hey, here's a son, so you feel fulfilled.
Oh, yeah,
like that you did nothing to raise. Yeah. You know nothing about
this single mom literally raised a PhD kid, and Kirk comes in. He's like, I'll take it from now.
Yeah, I feel old. I need something to fulfill me.
Doesn't he, spoiler alert, get killed like immediately in the search for Spock?
I'd say about like maybe 45, 50 minutes into it.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, right. Guys.
Yeah. And does Carol get Nyx too?
She's not around at this point. I think she's maybe passed away at this point because it's only the son and Savick. So I mean, she's not even in the next couple of movies.
Yeah, okay. So, by the way, does Savick... I remember I was like, oh, Savick, Christy Alley. It's like, does she end up doing anything in this movie?
No. She was kind of like the almost eye candy. Because her whole subline is the Kobayashi Maru.
By the way, is that the first time we've heard of Kobayashi Maru?
I think it's actually referenced somewhere like casually in the original series, but it's never followed through. So it's almost mainstream, but the Kobayashi Maru is basically a hologram command test that all the command cadets at the academy have to take. It's meant to be a no-win scenario. You're put into a situation where you have to save somebody and you have to deal with like wave after wave of enemy ships. The whole idea is you get accustomed to the fact that there are some times you are going to be incapable of winning. And that is the whole trick to that is the only person in like 400 years to ever beat the test is Captain Kirk when he was in the, but like this is meant to be like, ooh, smart. But in retrospect, you're like, fuck this dude. He literally just reprogrammed the computer so he could win, won it, and then prove them wrong. And it's like, there's no such thing as a no-win scenario. I found the loophole. And they're just like, commendation for original thinking. And then they fix that loophole, and then no one's been doing it since.
That's true.
So he just cheated.
Yeah, 100%.
That's it. And this white privilege bullshit, okay? This guy just got away with it scot-free. They're just like, that's original. And that is supposed to be the subtext of the movie. She's supposed to be frustrated by the fact that, like, I keep doing this and I keep losing. And he's just like, I didn't lose because there's no such thing as losing. And she's like, that's not right. He's like, there's no such thing as losing. And what does he go and do? He beats the smartest man ever made a second time, reinforcing this entitlement that he has where he's like, I'll never lose. Not only did I beat my old enemy, I got me a son. I had to do zero effort. I get to build a relationship. This is great. It's once again, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying Khan is also right.
That's so funny. Khan is right, everybody. How do you feel about the doctor?
McCoy?
Yeah.
I think he's amazing. I love how miserable he is.
He is, right? And
I do like that.
He is what I think I always fancy myself being like Kirk and being like this swashbuckling hero, making out with green ladies and killing. But I would be McCoy, just miserable and drunk, or in this my case, high,
so funny.
All the time, just calling out the hysterical bullshit that's happening. And that's his whole point. You need, like, Spock's a diehard enabler. Him and Kirk have, like, this deep
codependency.
Huge codependency. A lot of the books I read about, like, old school writing, is a lot of the writers would write on purpose gay subtext because, you know, it was the 60s. It was very conservative. They're just like, fuck them. I'm going to make them best friends and maybe possibly lovers. So there's just, like, this deep brotherhood that they have that's unbreakable. And McCoy being like, actually, you shouldn't do that because these are all children. Every movie's just him drunk being like, I guess no one listens to McCoy.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. He's so funny.
Who would you be?
Who would I be?
Who do you think it would be? And who would you end up being?
Oh, that's so hard. I don't know.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
I think you want to be Spock, but you're fucking like Kirk. I can see you fucking
that's
in charge.
That's so
yo.
Funny. I Reeds, wanted to I'm say Spock so I'm bad, but I'm like, I'm not.
Right. Oh, Reeds is for sure, Kirk. You're absolutely right. Charging in.
Oh, 100%. Shoot from the hip, no questions asked.
You should
also
make
that with green ladies. I love it.
It's like, also, I remember you, and fuck you, I'm taking you down.
And listen, I...
truly.
I want to hear who... Craig thinks he is, and I'll tell him who he actually
is.
Oh,
yeah, so, this is such a fun
so
game.
I think
say it. Be honest. Just say it.
I think I would end up... Okay, I think I would want to be Scotty.
Oh, yes. That's exactly
I think I'd end up being Chekhov.
Yes! That is the most self-aware answer. I appreciate it.
I'd just be like, I'm a good little soldier.
And
I know
he's
how
a good
to,
boy. He shows up. He does his job.
And nobody really pays him much mind. You're like, oh, is this a Chekhov episode?
And listen, it's sweet. It's heartwarming. There's ups and downs, but it's also Chekhov in a monkey's haircut. You're like, get out of here.
Get out of here.
It's like a Lisa episode. You know, you watch it, but like, you could maybe miss
I
it.
Will say, though, science fiction and Star Trek is a huge part of this, has done a great job of convincing me that I might... By the way, I love space. Like,
who doesn't?
If you were like... You could go to the moon tomorrow. I absolutely would.
100%. Since day one.
Watched. I watched Gravity, which is. I've watched The Martian. Yep, I've watched Apollo 13. All of which are about space disasters. And every single one of those, I'd go in a heartbeat. I would do that. So Star Trek.
I'd die in space. Anyway.
Star Trek is responsible for convincing me that there is a place in space for our sarcastic and.
Unfortunately,
and my entire space career is built on we're going to need some wisecracking engineers.
And here's the thing, though. Half the time, they're either like they last the whole series and they're fan favorites, or you get like blown into space during an attack, which is my dream. That's all. I would love to just get sucked into the vacuum of space, just running for the escape pods, be like, you're going to move.
Thunk.
That's it.
And then Hisham just tumbling end over
frozen.
End.
You guys look into the window. No. Oh, buddy. That's,
I think that'd be an okay way lived, to die, right? though. That's got to be quick.
I instead of getting doored and murdered in Toronto by like an errant driver, no.
Yeah.
I want to get hit by space debris.
Yeah. He died how he lived. A cold motherfucker.
Amen.
I'm just picturing Hisham in a red shirt on the bridge, being like, come and get me, motherfuckers.
Professionally, my dream is to write for a Star Trek TV show. That's always been since like day one as a kid, but I would also love to be a red shirt murdered on an episode.
We know a guy, who was red shirted on Discovery, because Discovery films in Toronto.
That is
we
my favorite. And they have some great deaths on Discovery, and I really appreciate that, because every... My favorite thing of it is how people die in Star Trek, and it gets better and better. I think Discovery's done it the best so far.
Yeah, Discovery's pretty good.
Yeah, man. I wish I got into Star Trek more, but I
was huge.
When I would sleep at my parents' cottage, they only have one channel, right? Because it's a fucking cottage, right? Yeah. We're in a shack.
Whatever's coming in, yeah.
Yeah, at the time, calling it a cottage was loose, okay? It's loose terms, right? So I'm like, and any time, because like I was at the age where I thought it was cool to stay up, like I'm like, oh, I get to stay up in a room with a TV and I'm going to watch some shit. But I would always fall asleep and it'd always be Star Trek at that time. And I would always have nightmares about the guy with the crazy forehead.
Worf.
Oh my God, that guy would fucking terrorize me in my dreams. And I...
Out of context, if you just saw him, yes, that is a terrifying owl bear in a... Like, that's
Jesus,
all it is.
Just, Murphy.
That is... Okay, listen, you want to get into TNG. That is... That entire bridge crew is just criminals. This man, Worf, is entire in episode. There are entire episodes where he goes psychotic, kills people, and he just goes to HR and be like, "I did it again," and he just has to write like a note and submit it.
Star Trek as a series is so lax on mind control.
Where there's just casually, like, and not only that, they let species who can mind control you just in. I'm like, no, you kill all those aliens. That's just for the greater good.
Yeah, but have you ever seen speaking about Worf, Michael Dorn with his makeup off, you're like, something not right about that.
He's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
And
but like your arms are a little too long or something like that. It's like your forehead seems empty right now. Like it's
you haven't seen me in my final form. I just like imagine him at dinner. He's like, "Are you?" And he just like pulls out like a little plastic and puts it on his forehead. He goes, "I'm Worf." And just take it off.
I grew up on TNG. Not like as a huge fan, just like it was on.
It is and something like that was one just
of,
on.
That was one of the things that was just like, oh, this is cool. Oh, you know what I mean? See, and like we're and like
that's great because if you watch Star Wars when it was just on, you would be immediately on board. But most people, but a lot of people watch Star Trek and they're like, "What is
no?" And I
enjoy philosophy involved.
I enjoy it.
Great. Yeah. I love that.
But it was just like because I think it's also really great kid friendly sci-fi for the most part.
You can keep series. Up with it. Yeah.
And you know, not too violent, not too bloody, not too vulgar.
That was a lot of fun. The fights were like so staged, like literally like theater style, where they're just like double fisting each other.
Well,
in
I
the
mean,
back.
Shatner's the.
Oh God. Da, 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 da. There's an actual like workout called the Shatner where they teach you how to fight and like him, and it's just you holding onto bars and doing crunches while you just kick at things. He just grabs a pipe and does a double kick in the chest, or holds two fists together and just clubs him. It's great.
Two fists together. That's got to slow down the power, man. That's
100%. But that's like
that can't be a move.
That's ingrained. Like if you watch subsequent episodes, they're just like, I guess this is how people in Star Trek fight, and then every series since has been two dudes just doing. Over each other's heads? It's incredible.
Which has got to be the most, like, you're talking about grasping two hands together like a hurrah, 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 and then bashing. That's got to be the most inefficient way to fight. Bashing people in the face with closed hands, like clasped hands. Like, that's not a solid, like, that's the noise you make when you want to, like, make the fart noise. You
know what I mean? Or when you want to, like,
you're
killing move.
When you're in the, pool and you're squirting water at your sisters so or something.
Yo, that's a major disrespect, though. Can you imagine if somebody did that move and made the fart noise at the same time? You're
the
done.
Last
you're
thing
dead.
You, hear?
You die on that floor. You're done.
Party does you go.
Mine was original series. When I came to Canada, that was the one I watched.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been obsessed with Shatner since day one. Oh, buddy. Since day one.
It's kind of like whoever your captain is, I think, is probably captain.
Doctor Who, like whoever your doctor is, the first one you watch.
Yeah. Hisham is wearing a Star Trek sweater right
now. Yes, I have many Star Trek-related memorabilia clothing. A lot of it custom made. They don't just sell it, guys.
Yeah. You also sometimes do Star Trek shows, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have one coming up at the end of March. Just add me on Instagram and you can see that coming.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't asked Craig about it, but he's for sure going to get on. Craig's like one of four dudes. I'm like, yeah.
Because I also just wanted, before we go, because I think this is going to kill me if I don't get this out. This is other dumb technology that I hated in this movie in particular. One, really disliked that there is just a hijack cone to turn off the shields of a spaceship. How, like, of all the dumb things to build into your spaceship, an ability to turn the shields off from the outside with a four-digit code.
For the record, I just want to point out that it did work. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying, oh, look, what possible situation could this happen? Khan came back. There we go.
Yeah, that I really didn't like. And elevators that you can stop on a spaceship is one of the dumbest things. Like, there's a point at which they stop the elevators and they have a conversation. And then the elevator comes and Bones is literally like, why were you holding up the elevator?
Oh, my God.
It's like, this is a crew of hundreds of people. In my building is 12 stories tall.
Yeah.
There's three elevators, and if one is out of order, it fucks up the entire building. And here you've got a military vessel with hundreds of people having to get around, and this guy's just like, hang on, we need to have a real one-on-one heart-to-heart. Hit the stop button on the elevator. This is a good place. Is there not a room you could go to?
I guess they do that on TNG.
They do it on DS9.
They do it on Void. Although I think in that case, they have more than one elevator now.
Yeah. I mean, even if there's two or three elevators in this spaceship, fucking over one, because like someone being like, oh, I need to take this to the cryo lab before it boils over and turns into an alien that can control our brain.
And Kirk's complaining about how old he is. You're like, fuck this guy.
Oh my God.
This is like an entire spaceship filled with people who don't understand that escalators are stand right, walk left.
No, yeah, dude. Anyway, I do love that scene because the doctor comes in and he's like, oh, how about that Romulan ale, eh? He seemed like one of those guys that smoked weed with you once and then was like, the reefer, huh?
He's literally my favorite.
I love him. Yeah. He's so fucking funny.
I got one last fun fact about this movie.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you guys noticed or not. This is something like it took me a while to realize because I love kind of political or military thrillers, like Hunt for October is one of my favorite ones. Mm. At no point do Khan and Kirk ever meet.
No.
They entirely talk via communications. The entire movie.
Wow. That's... Yeah, because you would expect it to almost end in like an epic hand.
I kept waiting for that to happen. I was like, at one point, somebody's going to hop ship here so that somebody can hit somebody else with a pipe.
It's probably scheduling conflicts, because I know like they were both like working on shit at that point.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? It works.
Yeah. It totally worked.
So
and
good.
That's also the universe, because we are in submarine warfare. It's like you don't see your adversary necessarily. Mm-hmm. You don't see... That's really a great point. There's a couple other movies there that happened. Fifth Element is another famous one where the villain and the hero never meet.
Bruce Willis and Gary Oldman?
Yeah, they never meet. There is one point at which like one gets on an elevator and leaves and the other comes down like a second later and it opens, and that's as close as they get. But yeah, check it out. It checks out.
Wow. I have to go back and watch that movie. That's a great one.
But
Did you guys actually like Fifth Element?
I loved Fifth Element.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really liked it. Nice. Did you not?
Oh, I did. Oh, I'm surprised a lot of people, because that's like my kind of sci-fi.
Yeah, I loved it.
Did you ever watch Leon the Professional?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Loved.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah, now we're just talking about other movies that we love. anything else you want to argue for Khan? Yeah, I think we're ready to do it. So time for our definitive ranking of the villain, where we talk about how good the villain is.
I've got, so I'm ranking Khan on a hot men over 60 scale. So I've got at the bottom, I've got from Steve Buscemi, you know,
okay,
at the bottom.
Who's gotten a little better with
age,
I
must
say.
Steve Buscemi to Denzel Washington.
Nice.
I'm giving him an Arnold Schwarzenegger because damn man, how's your body still doing that? Hot damn, dude. Wow.
Nice. You got one? You got a ranking?
Well, listen, I'm a Trekkie and I was going to go with, literally my favorite sci-fi supervillains, and it goes from the lowest one, which is The Thing, which is quite possibly the single stupidest horror villain. Oh, yeah, I'll say it.
Controversial.
Okay.
At me at Hisham Kaladi with your thoughts, people. And here's the problem, though. The number one spot is Khan Noonien Singh. He's my baseline. Like, I have no frame of concept.
He's your 10 out of 10.
He is my 10 out of 10. So what I'll do is I'll do it Star Trek style. The Riker beard is a very popular unit of measurement in the Star Trek world. And out of five Riker beards, I'm going to give him a full five Riker beards. He
nice.
Absolutely nails it, start to finish. Also, goddamn those pecs.
Goddamn those pecs indeed. All right, I'm going to double down here. I'm going to say the dumb Star Trek technology scale. So on a scale of elevators you can stop to the holodeck that keeps trying to kill you. I'm giving consoles that explode with sparks because it's flashy, he makes a lot of noise, but ultimately he didn't really get a lot done. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, that sucks. That's true. Like, he made the planet, but it wasn't even on purpose. He was just trying to kill Kirk.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, still doesn't work. So, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, where we talk about the people who've inspired and disappointed us, a couple ways you can help out the podcast. First of all, let's just announce this. Guys, we are up for a record 3 Canadian Podcast Awards.
Woo! Yeah.
Everybody, we're up for a TV and film comedy, and we are also nominated for a People's Choice Award, which you, as our listeners, can actually go vote on. So if you want to go help us out, help us win People's Choice, you can check that out at awards.podcamptoronto. That's podcamptoronto.com. And you can find the People's Choice there and vote for The Villain Was Right.
Yeah, hot damn.
A really big help if you could do that.
Yeah.
A couple other ways we can
If you're looking for more content, we have Patreon.
Yeah.
People, get over to Patreon if you got a couple of loose dollars in your pocket. We would love to jingle your change. Yeah. I don't know. What
that
the
sounded
fuck
dirtier.
Am I saying?
That's so
oh
dirty.
I have to bleep that out now.
Love to jingle your change. Yeah, we got a couple of tiers there you can check out. We've got voting, bonus episodes. Hit us up on Patreon for that. You can also follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter. That's probably where we are most active. We also have a Facebook page, Villain Was Right.
Gmail, if you want to email us suggestions or anything like that, villainwasright@gmail.com. We always love hearing you. We'll get back to you eventually for sure.
And as always, please like and subscribe. If you can leave us a one-sentence review, that's always appreciated. Helps us move up in the ranks.
Yeah, and you guys have been leaving some great
we love
great
y'all.
Ones, great reviews lately. So
we love
fantastic.
You guys.
So thanks for supporting us. And now it's time for our
Hero and Villain of the Week.
Nice.
I've had two coffees.
Rebecca's
weird.
Rebecca's bringing some energy to this.
Yeah. I'm tired. Fuck yeah. Mine's like hero/villain. It's just like a weird thing that somebody said to me that I would really like to talk about.
Absolutely.
Because apparently there's people out there doing this, and I've never. Okay, so I got like a fitness watch for Christmas, right?
Oh, cool.
And which I love it, and it like counts your steps, and some people think that's fucking crazy. They're like, why would you want that? And I'm like, oh, it's just because like I don't have a day job, so like I need something to actually yell at me, like, you haven't moved in 3 hours.
Yeah,
please,
yeah, okay,
please move, you know what I mean? And it's just like a general barometer to make sure that I've walked at least enough, you know what I mean? Like I've accumulated some steps, I'm not like too hard on it, whatever. Right. But I was talking to a guy about it, and he was like, oh no, I'd never get one of those. And I was like, why? And he's like, well, because you can cheat it, right? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, if you move your arm around a lot, it'll cheat it.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but why would anybody cheat this
thing?
That's
super
funny.
That's
the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Dude, like, nobody else is looking at this but me.
You're playing yourself.
You're playing your damn self. Okay, like, ooh, I'll never know. You know what? that feels like to me? That feels like somebody weighing themselves but putting a toe on the ground. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, I'll never know. Like, who? So I guess my villain is, if you're out there and you're cheating yourself, stop it. Shut it down, dude. You're the only one looking at this number. This absolute
madness.
It means
madness. Nothing to anybody else.
Nothing. So I guess that's my point. If you're using, like, I was listening to another lady that was saying she fakes what she puts in for food on diet apps.
Oh my God. Why?
I'm like, that's so funny. That's so funny.
It's you. You're hurting yourself.
Nobody else looks at it.
I mean, we all lie to ourselves.
Oh, all the time. 100%. I have no moral high ground.
Yeah, dude. So that's it. That's all I want to say. If you're cheating your fitness watch, just take it off.
No one's holding you accountable. No one,
yeah,
to this.
It doesn't matter, guys.
What do you got, Hijab?
So you know those little Instagram videos?
Yeah.
You're supposed to shake your head. And it's like, what do you do? Or it's like two truths and a lie or whatever. So one of the ones I came up with eventually irked confession for me to my wonderful girlfriend was that this is a little, I'll let them have a little fun. I've been told I'm chaotic evil. Okay, I'll admit it. If anyone leaves their phone unaccompanied, I just text random people random things. Just like I call random numbers and I just talk to them for a little while on people's phones. And nothing ever offensive or anything. I'd just be like, hey, was thinking about you. How you doing? And it's just a random number. And once again, this is never
you're
one
building
of my
friendships. Oh, yeah, maybe.
But this isn't even my friends' phones or people's. No, I'm talking like strangers' phones at bars and stuff. And I'll just,
that's chaotic.
It's the single funniest thing to me, because I'm like, and especially like if it says mom or dad, sometimes it'd be like, thinking of you, love you, and I just leave it. And I'm like, maybe they haven't even like called their mom in like 30 years, and I just started something. It's always just random. It's never the people they've just texted. I go through their contacts and I just pick a random name. It's my favorite thing to do.
Oh man, I gotta go purge some of my comments.
Oh yeah, for sure. Sometimes I don't even put people's names in my as contacts because I'm so worried about butt dialing them.
Yeah.
Like if I deal with you professionally, like say you're like a club owner or something like that, I never put your name in my phone because I'm worried that I'm gonna accidentally call you or text you. Hisham is so
he's
out
like
of
literally
sorts
speechless.
Right now.
Do you still have the number on you?
So like I'll just have to scroll all the way down and find their number and look for the conversation
via text rather than having it
in contacts or anything like that.
I don't think that works.
I don't think that's going to help you at
all.
On my old phones. Okay. I think it's just a habit that I used to keep.
You're so funny.
Because I used to butt dial a comedy club owner all the time fucking mad at me.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
That right I there. Stopped putting people's names in my fucking phone because it scared the shit. I was like, I'm going to lose work, dude.
But then what if you lose the number?
Oh, it's fine. I'm such a flake that people assume that I lose everything. Nice. And so I just like message. I'm like, hey, do you have this person's number?
All right. Well, technically then that's a perfect plan. There's no loophole. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. You're your own villain for doing that.
I'm always my own villain. My favorite one is me.
Hilarious. All right, so I've got one. So this being Star Trek, it reminded me of this thing that happened at my old job with Star Wars. And if you want to know how I feel about the old job that I used to have, just go back a couple episodes and listen to our Office Space episode. So it was a pretty frustrating place to work. But at one time when I was working there, there was this big project that was coming up. They were going to launch this new software, which was going to revolutionize how we did everything in the company, right?
Yeah.
Nice. It was called it had a crappy acronym. It was called WAMS, Work and Asset Management System or something like that.
I always love when they come up with these initiatives that they spent months going, this is going to be a game changer.
It's huge, right? And they're like, we're updating everything. Literally everything the company does goes through this, right? So they were trying so hard. And the last time they updated this, they fucked it up so bad and people were so angry. And I just heard legends of that. I wasn't there. But the computer program they had was such shit you couldn't get anything done. And then they're like, we're updating it. We're not going to screw it up this time. So they were trying so hard to get everybody gung-ho and on board with this. So they had this huge Like they rented out this huge like convention space.
Oh God!
Like
I'm filled with anxiety right
yeah.
now.
And and they were like, "Come on!" And like, you know, you're gonna have coffee and like eat like croissants and like we're gonna tell you about like all the great things that this is gonna do and you can ask questions and stuff and like we're really gonna entertain you and get you on board with this. And one of the things they do is they put up this thing. And they're like, "A few of us have put something a little special together, just you know, to kind of make this little fun." And they put up on the screen this like huge thing and it's a scene from Star Wars. It's not just, and not just any scene, the scene where Darth Vader, from Return of the Jedi, where Darth Vader arrives on the Death Star under construction, and there's like, all the guards are there. Correct me if this is not Last Jedi. Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi. When Palpatine's coming, they give him heads up to finish the Death Star.
Exactly. Yes, that's it exactly. And he goes like, the Death Star must be finished by the time we're done. And then like, there's like a general something going like, yes, absolutely. And then walks on. What they decided to do was they were going to dub over Darth Vader's voice, but with all this stuff that was super specific to the program that they were launching. So they were like, we must have WHAMs up and running. Or the assets of this company depend on it. And like, we're going to a unified workflow, blah, 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 blah. But in Darth Vader's voice. And here's the thing. I get that it's easier to dub over Darth Vader than, say, Obi-Wan.
but probably want Obi.
And I was sitting there, and I just literally looked around at the people at my table. And I was like, they know they're the bad guys, right?
This is like using like World War II Nazi propaganda. Like they're the fascists. They're the villains.
We're not them. I mean, we are them, but you don't
That's
know.
Like,
have you ever been in a room where you're like, "Am I the?" And of course, you all have because you're all comedians. Where you're like, "Am I the only one seeing this? Why is nobody else reacting to this the same way?"
This is a corporate job, so you know that went through like 8 rounds of approval.
Oh my God!
And everyone was just like, "Yeah."
And I was like, also, that's owned by Disney. They're litigious as shit. They're going to sue you for that. And I was just like, they're the bad guys. That's my takeaway from that.
That's fucking funny.
That's absolutely perfect.
That's my villain of the week.
That's brilliant.
That's my villain of the week.
I love it, Craig.
That's it. So I think that does it for us. Rebecca, where can people reach you?
You can find me at Rebecca Reads at any platform of your choosing. If you hit any one of those up, there'll be a link for my album. If you want to check that out, you can check it out for free on Spotify, or if you want to buy it,
buddy, check it out.
Yeah,
actually, check it out. I don't listen to anyone's comedy. She's great. I listen to it. She's perfect.
Please fantastic. Do. Yeah, check it out. Hisham, where can people grab you?
Please follow me at Hisham Kalati at Hisham KELATI at Instagram and Twitter. Also, feel free to add me on Facebook. I never use it anyway. and if you ever want to shoot me a line on Instagram, send me some fun Star Trek memes. Feel free to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can grab me at Craig Faye Comedy on Twitter, Craig Faye Comedy, Facebook, CraigFaye.com for show dates. And that's been us for The Villain Was Right this week. Next week, we are finishing off our Actually Good Movie Month with with The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah!
So keep an eye out for that. Until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to not climb blindly into a nebula. See you later.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Rivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.